Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Say amen when you're there. Amen. I'm going to read verse 37. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I want you to ask your neighbor, are you doing the work? Amen. Well, we're doing the work. I'm going to just pray. We could grab our seats. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, just come before you right now here this beautiful morning. And Lord God, I just thank you just for all that you are doing. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done within my life. And as those that are here, Lord God, as I've prayed for them, Lord God, just interceding, I just pray right now that you just continue to take full control, that you speak into the lives of those that are here, Lord God. For that's why we come just to hear of you, Lord God. It's not about me, but I know, Lord God, that you have a word for them. I pray right now that you give them your word, Lord God. I ask you this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We may have our seats. Amen. I'm going to talk about what I really want to talk about is just leadership. If I could get through it real quick, I just want to continue and just once again just say thank you, Pastor. Just thank you for everything that's been within my life. And as I come here, you know, I always want to just share something right as I was getting ready within this message and just started praying and just started looking to the Bible and just started praying again and just reading. Just one verse just really came out and stuck within me. And if I could share something, I just really want to share from within my heart as best as I can, because I really feel the need, and I've been feeling the need even more lately, just for leadership, just for people to rise up and really take their place. You know, just for as the calling goes forth and as you always hear the word, as you always hear preachings, you always hear messages, you know, but then it's upon us to really come out there and grab a hold of what God's doing within our lives. And as I mentioned that, I'm going to read a story here I read in a book, and I just really, really, really liked it, and it got to me. It's just a story that has to do a lot with leadership. Has to do a lot as we come to the church. We come to receive, and sometimes we say, okay, great word, great, you know, but then what's next within us? You know, what's next within us? I titled this message, A Call to Leadership, because God is always calling us. God is waiting for us to take our place. God is waiting for us to answer the call. And each and every single one of us, we're all here for a reason. I know that we hear that over and over and over, that you're here for a purpose, that, you know, that God has a plan for your life. And you may hear that, but it's true. It's so true, because I'm just here as a testimony of what God has done within my life. I came 3 years ago, and I sat in the back, and I would listen to the preachings, and I would just sit there and listen. And I never had no hopes of coming behind this pulpit. I never had no hopes of preaching. That was never, you know, anything near close within me. I never wanted to do this. All I wanted was, I told the men, all I ever wanted to do was when people would go up and give their testimonies, people would say what God has done within their lives. All I ever wanted was, God, I want to know you like they know you. That's all I ever wanted. That was my one thing. I said, God, if you're that real, if they know you so much, can I know you just like they know you? How come? What do I have to do to get to know you like they know you? And because of that, I just got started moving and doing more. And I would come and, you know, and I would start ushering. And during that time, I know the majority, some people know the story. I like to say it over and over and over, just because of what God has done within my life. Just because it goes to show that God has always remained faithful. God has always been there through the trials and through the struggles, through no matter what. God has always been there with me. I would be ushering. And at that time, I know the majority know my wife. She's downstairs within the kids' gang. She's serving. Praise the Lord. I have a wife who serves within the ministry. Amen. Right? And just a little announcement when she listens to this, hopefully online. Wife, I love you. Okay? But I would come and I would serve. And I would be, you know, I would be used in ushering. And then they would ask me, well, you want to usher Wednesday service? You want to usher Friday service? So I would go, okay, praise the Lord. And when my wife would come, she wasn't saved. So she thought we'd be sitting down together, you know, holding hands and all that. And I would have to sit, you know, I have to stand at the door. I have to stay posted up. And she'd just look at me all mad. You know, why do you bring me to sit by myself? I didn't even want to be here. And now I'm by myself. But I kept going forward. I kept going forward. And then I began to be used within the kids gang. I began to be used within the youth ministry. I began to be used in so many areas that I never wanted to be used. It wasn't my area to say, I want to go over here. I want to do this or I want to do that. I just simply ever just wanted to stay faithful to what God was doing within. That's all I ever wanted. And to this day, that's all I ever want to do. It just continued to remain faithful to what God is doing within my life. And as I say that, I'm going to read this story. It's a little long, you know, but hopefully this story just has a lot to do as we come within church. I had the privilege to go to Mexico. I know some people know this, but I went over there, and thank God we have a Victory Outreach Mexico, right? How many thank God that we're international, right? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering for that one. I got to experience the international level without even ever being across my mind. So I went there. We got connected with the pastors there. We said, we're going, you know, can we stay with, can we room with you guys, you know? Give us a place. I don't care. Give us a corner, but let's just stay with you. But the one thing that I noticed, and I know I've mentioned this again, but I'm mentioning it just because it's really within my heart. It's always been staying here. I always see it. It's been a real big need. And I always ask pastor, like, what else, you know, what can I do? What do you need from us? It's always been a big need. Ever since I came here, man, okay, how do you grow the church? How do we get more people involved? It's just been something within me. Every time I see other people, this is the way I think. Sometimes I think, you know, how come you're not more involved? Why are you not pressing and why are you not doing more? You know, but I don't say it, but I may think it. But that's all that's inside of me. Every time I see people, that's all that comes across me. It's like, I know you're struggling. I'm struggling too, but I know you can make it. I know God has something more. And all I see, and all, you know, within people, I don't see people. I see ministry. You know, I just see what God can do within their lives. I see so much potential. And I always tell myself, man, what can we do, right, to really just explode and really just grab a hold and really just, you know, come here and just, you know, say, have a fire within the church where we want to come. We want to worship, you know. Worship is going to last so much longer. The preaching is going to, you know, it's going to last so much. We don't have to say, okay, you know, it's time for a football game, but we're going to enjoy what God has for us, right? That's all that's always within me. And as I went to Mexico, and I got to experience, you know, their services, it was in Spanish, so I had to experience, you know, Spanish worship, and, you know, everything is in Spanish, so it was a little bit different, but the one thing, you know, it's always the same Spirit of the Lord. It's always, you know, those preachings. It's always Victory Outreach. You know, it always have that same family atmosphere that no matter where you go, you can be connected and you know that you're with family. And the one thing that really, really stood out, I mentioned this before, but I'm saying it again, is that I knew there was still a burden for leadership. I went there, and this is the first time that, you know, I sat in the back. I didn't go to the front. I was going to go to the front. I thought, oh, no, I'm not, you know, let me sit in the back. And it felt weird not helping out, not being used. It felt weird not really serving the Lord. You know, I was just there, and I was like, man, I want to do something. You know, I want to lead the guys in prayer. Or, you know, do they need somebody to open up? Like, what are they need? But I wasn't asking them, you know. I was just seeing all this. And the thing that I seen is really that need for leadership. That you could tell the pastor was there, the sister and pastors, and you could tell that the need for leadership was still there. And as we, you know, our ministry is just international. As we take a look at Victory Outreach Milwaukee, there's Victory Outreach, you know, Minnesota, Victory Outreach Chicago, Victory Outreach Philadelphia. We're all over the world, and that same need is always still there. It's leadership. At the end of the day, you know, the bills are always going to be there. The finances are always needed, but the people is what's really needed the most. You know, people who are able to sacrifice, or people who are able to be committed, of people who are able to just lay down their lives. And I want to share this because I know that's what God did within my life. I know when I came into the ministry, when God called me, when I heard his message, when I heard that, you know, that preaching, I knew it was either I give God everything or I don't give him nothing at all. Either I serve him with everything or I just stay back and keep doing the same thing that I was doing. And I told myself, there's no point in doing what I was doing. There's no point in trying to look for a job and just paying bills and doing what I want to do and going over here and going over there. Finally, when I made that decision, I said, okay, Lord, whatever it is, every single little area is yours. That's when God really started doing something within my life. That's when God started bringing me so much closer, showing me and just taking me through that process. And I'm still through that process. But I thank God that to this day, no matter what I go through, God has always remained faithful. Yeah. Amen. Let's read the story. All right, that way we have enough time. Okay, it says, a spiritual leader. This is a story about two leaders and their church. It's going to give us an insight about leadership. Okay, amen. It says, a spiritual leader had a large congregation. Everything was fine until one day one of his key assistants decided he could do things better. The assistant took with him more than 30% of the congregation. Needless to say, it was a painful split. Then it sometimes when this happens, questions arise. Like, you know, like maybe if the leader could have done this, or maybe if the leader should have done that. We begin to question those areas. Okay, then it says, after the split, the leader maintained his work with that congregation. It was still a small size. It was still a decent size. And he decided to start another work. So he decided to branch off another pioneer, another congregation, a different location. Like most new groups, this one was small. It was very small, but he saw great potential. The thing that happened this time was it was worse. A split did not occur. He lost his entire congregation. The leader did some things that enabled them to recapture some of that lost congregation and to rebuild it even larger. But in the process, was not without challenges, setbacks, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into rebuilding that congregation. That's our first leader. Our second leader says, this first leader had someone close within the ministry, a relative of him, who also started a work. He went out into the ministry. This leader had a true shepherd's heart. He was an excellent teacher. The Spirit, you could tell that the presence of the Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord was with him in a very remarkable way. He got great results. However, he also faced challenges in his leadership. He had a lot of turnovers. People went and came on a regular basis. He had retention problems, and on one occasion, there was a mass exodus from his congregation. This leader faced challenges with his staff. This was the ones that were with him the closest. His top staff members didn't always get along. They were competitive. They had periodic arguments among themselves. It was later discovered that one of his staff members was actually involved in embezzling ministry funds. He had another staff member who was known for being impulsive in word and deed, and this person one time lost it out of control and assaulted another person. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Would you like to be part of any of these two ministries? Right? Sometimes, most likely, maybe the answer is no. It sounds like pretty bad ministries. Would you like to work for the leader that lost 30% of his congregation, lost the second part, and was able to rebuild it? You know, would you be wanting to be part of that? And lastly, would you work for a staff that doesn't always get along, who always has turnovers, and doesn't listen, and is not very well cooperative with each other, right? Would you like to be part of that team? No? Okay, now, when I read this, is displayed in a slightly different manner, okay, for us just to kind of look at the leadership qualities, okay? The leadership within these two was always there. It was not missing. As I'm going to reveal to you who these two congregations were, the one key aspect is leadership was there. Leadership was not a problem. The problem sometimes that we find is followership. We can come up here and give you the best preachings, the best sermons, best instructions, everything, but if we don't follow it ourselves, then it's of no use. Right? If we don't follow the instructions, the guidance that are giving out, then we could just come here day after day, receive night after night, but not really go anywhere. I always tell the guys at the home, you know, I could give you all that, I could give you everything, I'm going to continue to pour out, but if you don't do your part, you could be here a year and it's going to stay the same. The first leader of that congregation, he lost 30%. His second group, it didn't split, but he lost it, and then he was able to rebuild it. It was God himself. When Lucifer took 30% of the angels and decided to go his own way, that was his first congregation. When Adam and Eve, when he kept his congregation, then Adam and Eve came and he tried to be with them. Then Adam and Eve left and they split. That was the one that he lost until he was able to rebuild it. There was no problems within that leadership. God himself was perfect. God himself was everything. Yet the problem was with the followership. The second group, if you could kind of guess now, is Jesus and his 12 disciples. Jesus was perfect in every manner. The presence was always with him. He was always able to teach every single sermon, just give everything he can. But as we read, his disciples were the ones not listening. His disciples were the ones getting in trouble. His disciples were the ones causing those areas. Why? it was bad followership. And as we talk about this area, that's the one thing that I see that we really, really need within the church. It's sometimes not really to question the why or the how or the how come and when and what, but just really to follow the leading that's been set before us. That's what we're going to need to carry us forth. That's what we're going to need to really take our own lives to another level. That's what we're going to need to really see this church grow and become what God wants it to be. Because at the end of the day, we could always point that, we could always say this, and how come the leadership doesn't do that? How come this is going on? But what are we doing about that area? Right? You're not liking me this morning. Right? What are we doing about that area? Where is our intake in this? What are we putting in within this? Because of these two examples, you could be within those two congregations, but yet still not have it all together. See, that leadership quality is going to be there. That those leadership aspects are going to be there. Those leadership traits are going to be there. But are we going to follow what's being set before us? All right, is it going to continue? I want you to turn with me. Go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 32. The one area that really, really caught to me as I talk about this just aspect of leadership is, to me, when I caught this, I really caught it with a burden. I really caught it with the thing that stuck out to me. Every single time, I want to share real quick that, you know, when I came and my wife wasn't saved, she was nowhere being close to being saved. She didn't want to come to church. She was way far in the back. When she would come in, I would tell people, go talk to my wife. Go, you know, she's right there. Go get her. Sometimes she'd leave out the door after, you know, after worship, after service. She'd be grinning at everybody. But the one thing that really, really stuck out to me, that really helped me, that really just always continued for me to strive, was just a burden that got placed within my life. It's just a burden to know that I have no time. It was a burden to know that I prayed for her today. I cried out for her today. She didn't get saved today. Today's over. There might not be a tomorrow. That was that burden that I would carry with me every single day. That every time I would look at her, I would just say, she's not saved. That's the only way I would look. I wouldn't look at her as my wife. I wouldn't look at her. I would look at her as a person that wasn't saved. There was a burden I had in me just to always keep praying, to always keep calling out, because I knew that tomorrow wasn't going to be there. Tomorrow there's not going to be no, but today is a day of salvation. And that's what kept me going. As I read this verse, verse 32 is about, But about that day arrived where no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. Let's skip down to verse 35. It says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And as he said this, there's one thing that always caught on to me. That I didn't have no time. There was no waiting around. There is no tomorrow. What God placed within my life was just a burden to cry out, a burden to keep praying, a burden to know that it's not about to. I don't have all that time in the world to get it together. I don't have all that time in the world, you know, to see if it's God. I don't have that. What I have is now. What I need is now. And my time is going to come now. That's why I have to do everything that I can now. That's why what matters is what I'm doing now. That's why what matters is how much I give to the ministry now. I love giving everything to the ministry. You know, I love just, nothing is mine any longer. I don't have, you know, the big bank account. I don't have nothing of my own. Everything that I have is always going towards the ministry. Everything that I have is going towards home. Everything that I have is going towards what God has done within my life. Why? Because I know where he took me out of. I know where I came from. And I'm not going to forget where I'm going. My time to do everything is now. That's what's time within me. Sometimes I beat myself down. I say, man, I could have done more. Man, I could have spoken to that brother. I had more time. I should have done this. But my time to take advantage, and your time to just stand and take our place within leadership, our time is now. We don't have to, you know, time to wait around. We don't have time to think about this or that. But our time as a church and our time as a leadership is to grab a hold of what God is doing within our lives and just raise up that victory outreach flag just to say, God, here I am. Use my life. I have nothing else but what you have done within my life. That's all that I want to do, right? And that's all that I want. You know, that's all that God did within my life. That's all that keeps taking me forth day after day, you know, night after night, all that I know is what God did within my life, right? Can we give the Lord a good clap offering here this morning? Can you turn to Psalms 133? I'm going to read this. Let's go to Psalms 133. I got still a little bit of time. I want to read this Psalms just because I've taken this scripture really to my heart, and it's something that I follow every day. It's just something that's always within me, just something that's always that I keep in mind. It's something that I know is that's my guidelines. That's what I do, you know. That's just something, what's the word that I want to use, right? A structure within my life, okay? It says, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? But the one verse I want to focus on is, it says, it's like precious oil poured down on the head, running down to the beard, to the collar of his robe. That's how it goes, right? And that's the one thing that I've always kept within my life, that I know who set before me, that I know the man of God that I must serve. As we read the scripture in the beginning, right, when he says, then he turned to his disciples and he said, the harvest is plentiful, right? The people are always going to be there. There are always going to be people that are in need. There are always going to be people that are hurting. There are always going to be those that are ready to receive the gospel. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, those are the ones that we need. Those are the ones that are missing. Where are those laborers, right? That's why this morning we said, are you a worker? Are you working unto the Lord? What kind of work are we doing, right? What's within us? What's driving us? Do we know the work that we're supposed to do? And then he said, ask therefore the Lord of the harvest, right? To send out workers unto his harvest field. But as we do that work, there's that structure in line. And this always helps me to stay in line because it says it starts from the top. And as us, as individuals, learning and serving behind our pastors, being behind our leaders, us as individuals, we gotta know who we're serving. We gotta know where it starts from. We gotta know where that chain of command starts. That's why it's so easy for me to take a command from pastor. It's so easy for me, no matter what pastor says. It's amen, pastor. What do you want me to do? Okay, pastor, you got it, pastor. Why? Because I know where it starts. It starts from the top. It's not about me and what I think and how I want to do things. That ain't going to get me nowhere. Right? If I want the anointing of God, if I want the Spirit of God, if I want God to move within my life, within my marriage is struggling, if my ministry is struggling, I know then where I got to, I know if I have to be in line with what God wants me to be. And as long as I'm in line, as long as I'm following that chain of command, as long as I'm knowing that I'm being obedient and just being behind and following the leading of my pastor, being behind them, knowing what he's saying and just believing what he tells me, then I know that God's going to bless my life. Right? Because I don't know about you, but I want my life to be blessed. Right? I want my marriage to be successful. Well, I know we fight, and I know the men's home sometimes hears us fight. Right? Sometimes they don't want to say anything, but we're not perfect, right? So we were in the car this morning, and we gave Sister Lydia a ride. I don't know what we said, something about, I think I forgot my wallet, right? And then we started arguing. I said, no, let's not argue. Sister Lydia's here. You know, she thinks we're perfect. You know, so far we're Disney characters. She's going to find out we're real, you know? But I know as I stay in line, as I follow, you know, as I come under that anointing, then God's going to bless my life. And that's why I love this scripture. It just helps me to stay in line. It helps me to say, okay, am I doing the right thing? Have I done something out of line? It helps me to just go back and check my life and restructure and say, am I doing anything I'm not supposed to be doing? I remember the one time, and I say this over just because it helps me to always say how faithful God is. It always helps me to just look back and remember what God has done within my life. I remember when I came, and I know Pastor remembers this clear as day. I came, and we were in the old building. I came up to him. I said, Pastor, I'm married, right? I barely came into the church. I'm brand new. I said, my wife's not saved, right? What do I do? And I expected like some kind of, you know, do this or glorious answer, this and that. This is going to take some time, blah, 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 this and that. And all he said was very, very, very simple. All he said was, as long as you're here, She'll be right next to you. And I didn't question him. I didn't have to say, what do you mean? You know, what kind of answer is that? You know, I didn't have to say, what are you talking about? As long as I'm here. You know, I'm coming here. She's not here. You know, so far it's not working. I didn't have to question him. I didn't have to say nothing. I knew the man of God that was set before me. I knew who God wanted me to come under. And I knew that that was the leading that God wanted me to take. Because of that, I continued to come. I continued to be there, whether she was there or not, whether she followed or not. But I knew. The man of God told me, if I'm here, then she has to be here. That's all I had to stand. That's everything that I had to stand. If I'm here, she has to be here. I had to believe that. I had to stand on that. And I had to. Why? Because it starts from the top. I couldn't have started it on my own. I could have done nothing. I tried on my own. It didn't work on my own. So I had to go where God's leading comes from. And here this morning, God's always trying to lead us. As we read those two stories, God's always instructing. God's always giving guidance. We know that there is no time. You read the news, you see the news, everything that's going on. You know, I always tell the guys, if you're not grateful for, you know, something that's going on, always be grateful just that God stepped into your life. Always be grateful that God saved you. Always be grateful that God rescued you, because there's others out there still suffering. There's others out there still lost. There's others out there, they don't have what you have. At the end of the day, we get to rejoice. We can be in heaven, but they're not out there. They're still lost. At the end of the day, we have something to be grateful for. That's what God has done within our lives. And this is where it starts. It starts from the top. We want this church to grow and flourish. We want it to really have the blessings of the Lord. We want to see more families saved. We want to see more, you know, more marriages just thriving. But it starts from the top. We have to come under that anointing. It's easy for me not to question, Pastor, and I could preach about this, because I don't question. I just say, amen. I'm glad and I'm happy. It gives me so much joy to serve. Because I know that I don't have to question him. I know he's a man of God. I know he's not doing anything wrong. I know who he is. It makes it so much easier for me to come under and to receive those blessings of the Lord. But it's not just for me. It's not just for, it's for everybody within this service. It's for everybody within this saint. All it takes is to come under. All it takes is to follow that leading. Right? Am I getting somewhere here this morning? Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:15. That kind of tied in our scriptures together. 1 Corinthians 4:15, and we're going to almost close off here. I heard there's some kind of game where the Packers are going to lose, so we got to catch it early. Just making sure you guys are listening. Now I know you guys are listening, you see? Some people woke up from that one. Some people... 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, even though you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. It says, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. That's the one thing is I want to focus on. It says, in Christ Jesus, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. I'm not your father. Okay, I just want to clarify that. But we have a spiritual father. We have a spiritual father who not only we must come under, but there's something within us to really help him lift up that load. We all know the story about Aaron and Hur and how Moses was praying and they came under just to lift up his hands. There's so much of a need just to lift up his hands every time. Yesterday, I came and, you know, the pastor was still working. I said, you want me to just, you know, be here with the guys? I'll stay here. So you go into the office, there's so much of a need just to be there to lift up his hands. We can have many teachers, we can have many instructors and other disciples and many mentors. We can have other help, but there's only one spiritual father that God has given us. The Bible says that he's a gift from the Lord. Right? He's a gift. I remember when I was young and Christmas time, the gifts would be there early and I wanted to open them. And I would check and see, can I open it and retape it back together just to see how it is? Because it's something that I really want. It's a gift. And God knows what we need. God knows your exact need. God knows every single little thing. And he gives you a gift. He gives you a spiritual father to take care of those needs. To be with you. To nourish you. To care for you. As far as I know my spiritual father hasn't done me wrong. I know he hasn't led me the wrong way. I know he hasn't spoke to me wrong. I know he hasn't done anything to hurt me, but all he's done is care for me. All he's done is been there for me. All he's done is shown me, and it's my job, it's my duty just to be there for him, to lift up his hands, to care for him, to pray. Why? Because he's my spiritual father. And here this morning, that's one area that as we talk about leadership, we got to know this structure. We got to know what we're called for. We got to know who's been before us so we can continue to grow. We can continue to come under so we can know what it takes. We can know who our spiritual father is. We can know what his needs are. We can know how we can be of help. We can know how to come under and experience those blessings that God wants to just pour out upon this church. You don't think that God wants to just bless his church? You don't think that God wants to do miracles upon your life? You don't think that God wants to do wonders within your life? Are we in line? Are we in structure? Are we taking it, you know, a hold? Are we really receiving with gladness what he has done, our spiritual father that he gives us? Are we really working upon that harvest field? Are we doing that will of God? Right? Because that's how we're going to experience those blessings of God. It's almost time for me to finish. I want to read this is just some statistics that I found. And I'm going to just read them because I looked at them. They came up to me a while ago. I read them in a book, and they've been with me ever since. When I read it in a book, I didn't believe it. I had to go back and reread it just to see if it was true. But as we talked about, just, you know, when Jesus looked at his disciples, he said, look, man, there's plenty of work. Work ain't ever going to finish. The problem is there's people don't want to work. Problem is people don't want to sacrifice. People don't want to give, right? That's why we say when we give, it's not just, no, it's to bless your own life. Man, it's part of being, right? It's part of being committed. As we talked about just these simple scriptures, we don't have that much time. I'm grateful to be saved. I'm grateful that God stepped into my life. But we don't have that much time. I know who I got to come under. I know, and that's all I wanted to do is just impart so that you may know how to come on, that you may know how to experience just those blessings that God wants to give within your life. Someone once told me the difference between Christianity and every other religion is Christianity. It's just not information, it's impartation. God wants to bring something within our lives. I want to read this real quick. It says, this is what pastors go through. It says 90% of pastors report working between 55 and 75 hours per week. 50% feel unable to meet the demands of the job. 70% of pastors feel grossly underpaid. It says 90% feel they're inadequately trained to cope with the ministry's demands. 90% of pastors said the ministry was completely different than what they thought it would be like before they entered the ministry. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 50% of pastors feel so discouraged they would leave the ministry if they could find or had another way of making a living. Marriage and family. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. 80% of spouses feel the pastor is overworked. 80% of spouses feel left out and underappreciated by church members. Church relationships. It says 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. We're talking about pastors. 40% report serious conflict with a parishioner at least once a month. Number one reason pastors leave the ministry, church people are not willing to go the same direction and goal of the pastor. Pastors believe God wants them to go in one direction, but the people are not willing to follow or change. It says 50% of ministers starting out will not last 5 years. One out of every 10 ministers will actually retire as a minister in some form. 4,000 new churches begin each year and 7,000 churches close. Then it says over 1,700 pastors left the ministry every month last year. Over 1,300 pastors were terminated by the local church each month, and over 3,500 people a day left the church last year. These are just statistics of how things are going. But as I read that, every morning I don't leave without, I could pray. Sometimes, I'm going to be real, right? Sometimes I don't pray for my wife, but I pray for my pastor, right? But every morning I cannot leave without praying for my pastor. Why? Because we have a spiritual father. We have, you know, the harvest is always there. Our work is there. The time is now. But we got to come under that anointing. We want this church to be blessed. Right? If we want to grow within our personal lives. Someone once said, fulfill your pastor's vision and God will give you your vision. I just want to lay across really what God has been doing within my life. God has been so faithful. Have I been going through trials? Man, you better believe it, right? Have I been going through so many storms day in and day out? I just say, whatever, man. You know, where's the other one? Where's the next one? Now at this point, you know, I know how to go through them. Why? Because of my spiritual father. I know how to just cover him and lift him up in prayer. And I know all he's done just for my life. And here this morning, that's all I wanted to get across. Now we have a spiritual father who cares for us. There's a reason why we are here. Is to fulfill that vision that God has given us. Every time, I know I've said it before, every time I hear him preaching and just sharing and just pouring out his heart, I just look back and say, man, who's listening? Right? Who's ready? Who's receiving this time? Who's going to be the next person? We want for us to receive these blessings. We want to see everybody make it. But the problem is not the leadership. The problem is the followership. Right? Musicians make their way. If we could all stand as we finish off, come to a closing.
Amen. Amen.